It's great to have you here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that you are about to enter the greatest time in your life?
Amen.
Amen. That's what you need to declare on a regular basis. I'm about to enter the greatest time of my life. Time of greatest fruitfulness. Time of greatest anointing. You'll never know how anointed you are until you release that anointing. The other night at the prison, God showed up and he's always wonderful, you know, but it's really special. Those guys, when they were getting into it, and then we were kind of done, and I was still buzzed up, and there were three guys that had kind of been gathered over in a corner, and one of the guys I'd already kind of walked by and snuck prayers out on him. He ended up going and sitting down, and there were two more that were standing there, not standing there, and I just walked over. I put my hand on both their chests. I said, "I just got some extra you got to have." Amen. You know? And they looked at me kind of funny, but the next thing I know, they were mosh pitting it for Jesus, you know? I mean, that's what they know. That's good. So there's things that God has in store for us, and if we are willing, they will happen. And it is in Psalm 33. I just loved that the Lord put that psalm on my heart, and so I, of course, when he puts something on my heart, I go look at it. And Psalm 33 begins saying, "Rejoice in the Lord, good people. It's only right for good people to praise him." You know? Well, some people say, "Well, I'm not good." Well, God in you makes you good. If you will praise the Lord, that makes you good. That makes you something different than everyone else. And he goes on to say, "Play the lyre, praise the Lord, play the 10-stringed harp for him. Sing a new song to him, play it well and sing it loud. The Lord's word is true and he's faithful to everything he does." Sing a new song to him and sing it loud. And I like to sing, and yes, I do sing loud. Sometimes I sing soft. But the thing is as I thought about that, I had thought about Psalm 33 earlier in the week, and then this morning as I'm praying and I'm thinking about the Lord and I'm thinking about the amazingness of the season that we're coming into, which is a full-time season for those who know the Lord. And that song, "Hippity Hoppity, Easter's on its way," came into my mind, and I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, it's kind of like when I was putting siding on the house, and the song that kept going through my mind was "Think About the Crap You Learned in High School" from Paul Simon. And I'm thinking, "What in the world, Lord?" And he said, "Well, think about it. Think about the crap you learned in high school." Ooh, yeah, I think about that, you know, but it's gone. There was some good stuff I learned too, but there's a lot of that other stuff there too. When I think about it, I'm grateful to the Lord. Makes me shout Jesus. Most anything can make me shout Jesus. Because you see, I have everything to leave behind and lots of things to look forward to. I've got a sin for every praise that I can ever make forever and ever and ever. You know? And so we have that. And so then I'm thinking about this hippity hoppity, you know, and yes, Easter's on its way. And when I grew up, we had an old console. Mom still has it at her house. Had a record changer. It wasn't a record player. It was the record changer on the side. That's what it was called. It was a record changer. Some of us are old enough to remember the record changer, you know. And it didn't play anything but 78s. 78s. What in the world is a 78? Well, it was kind of like a 33 and a third. Why 33 and a third? I have no idea. But the 33 and a third records. Records are kind of becoming popular again. I see people on eBay selling record players so that people can play the old goodies, you know. And so we had this record changer, and one of our records was "Here Comes Peter Cottontail." hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity-hoppity, Easter's on its way. Well, I can see you're into that. Anybody remember the song? Sure, okay. So anyway, that began to introduce the Easter season. Well, you know, people just didn't know any better. I don't remember there being a 78 that was, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Or "Up from the grave he arose." You know, we didn't have that at my house. And so my biggest memories of Easter as a child were the candy and the little eggs and a new suit of clothes. But the plus was that the new suit of clothes was always to dress up for Easter Sunday in church that I got nothing out of. You know, we went. It was like Christmas. The celebration of him being born was just a slight interruption in the important stuff. You know? And so, but at least there was that new suit of clothes that got me to church. And that brought me to the thought of kind of just a heavy heart of how many children in our schools today know no reference to Jesus at all unless they've heard their parents say his name in vain. How many? You see, we were fortunate. We were blessed if we were in the era when there was a Ten Commandments on the wall. You know, I grew up with a purple Ten Commandments in gold lettering on the wall of my house, and the schools all had the Ten Commandments in it, and we had rules, and we followed the rules, because if we didn't follow the rules, there was trouble. And your parents didn't come and make excuses for you, they came and made you sorry that you got in trouble. Yeah! You know, I mean, that's really the truth. And so there's so many little children that, you know, if I go, you know, I'm at school and if they don't want me to come back, they don't have to call me to come and sub. So I say anything that I want to say. So I can say to a little kid, "Jesus loves you," and I can't tell you, the majority of them will look at me like, you know, because they don't know about that. And so if we know about that, we're fortunate. You little ones are so precious, and Jesus loves you so much. Oh, not just a little bit, real big. And that's what needs to get out there, and that's what puts us in probably the greatest place in our lives, because we know the truth. And the truth has made us free. And sometimes we aren't so sure we're free, but I'm telling you that we are free. And then we need to release that freedom. We need to let the joy of the Lord be our strength and our confidence and our assurance. And our lives just represent this special thing. And somebody says, "What is it?" And we say, "It's Jesus." Because it won't be a hippity-hoppity. According to the Bible, it'll be a great white horse. I don't know how it's all going to work out. Okay? I always said, I don't know what kind of horse Jesus is going to ride, but I'm going to be on the one next to him, and if I can get on, I'll be on the one right behind him on his. I just want to be there when the saints go marching in. And it's easy enough for the world to forget Jesus, but unfortunately it's almost easy for the church to kind of forget him as well. Because where we remember him, we come here to be built up to take him out of here. Not to keep him confined here. And I'm not talking about having a stack of tracks and passing out tracks. I'm talking about having a stack of experiences and just sharing. And having the confidence in Jesus that nothing's impossible. Some of you have heard, and not all of you have heard, Brother Rogers. I got an email from him, and he was sharing this thing with me. He says, "Daddy, you've got to hear this. I told my wife, Daddy's got to hear this." And so he sent me an email, and he told me about that he had ridden his bicycle 35 kilometers to some place to preach. And now he needed to get back to his church to preach. And as he was riding his bike back from the church to preach, he was talking to the Lord about, "Lord, this is a long ways on a bicycle if I'm going to be keeping this kind of a schedule." And he got back I'm adding things from the email and the things that he told me later when he called. But when he showed up back at his church, there was a woman there and her husband, and the woman had been healed of AIDS 30 days before that. And the husband and the wife were there to present him with a four-wheel drive vehicle. And so he said, "Daddy," he said, "the engine has some problems. All I have to do is fix the engine. I have a friend that's a mechanic. The engine will be fixed." He said, "This is a wonderful miracle, Daddy." And the next day he called me and he said, "Daddy, after I got the bicycle, we had a service. And at this service, they brought this woman that could not see and she could not walk. And we prayed for her, and Daddy, she was instantly healed." He said, "Daddy, I know it's just got to be your grace pouring on me." I said, "Oh no, son, I need to come and get some of your grace." But you see, he just believes God will do things, and he prays, and they do them. The same thing happens in the field. They just have that simple faith. And the more that people hear and see that stuff, the more these people show up at their services and the more people get healed. And these people, this woman healed up because she showed up because she wanted to be healed. The woman that had the AIDS came as a last ditch thing. She got healed. Next time she came with her husband in a four-wheel drive. Not bad. Because you see, God wants to reach multitudes. Brother Rogers says that God has told him he's to reach 100 million people. Guess what? They go on your account too. That should give you confidence. That should give you hope. That gives you a testimony. That tells you that if God's doing that in Kenya, he's going to do it here too. You just got to keep praying for people. You just got to keep saying the good and wonderful name of Jesus. It's important. It's important to you. It's important to other people. It's important to the kingdom of God. You are important to the kingdom of God. There's not one unimportant person in the kingdom of God. We have the good news of the kingdom. And yes, it is tremendously sad that everyone doesn't know. But Jesus said they're only going to know if you tell them. "Oh, no, no, that was just for the evangelists and the pastors." Oh, no, oh, no. The pastors were supposed to train everybody up so that they would minister the gospel. So that they would be built up in their most holy faith and they wouldn't be able to keep it in. You see, if you can keep it in, stir it up until you can't keep it in. Until it overflows. You know? When I read about Jesus saying to the Lord, he shouted, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," and I died. And he died. And then he died. And I thought, I have shouted, "Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit." But some things just don't die fast. But Paul said he died daily, so we continue to die daily. We continue to, you know, it's amazing how the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, but that weak flesh is strong enough to resist the Holy Spirit. Sometimes my flesh just isn't weak enough. But if you keep working on it, it'll wear out. You know? I mean, it's like if I pick up this piano, it's not too heavy. But the longer I hold it, the harder it'll be to take care of it. I tipped over the piano at the auditorium when I was getting ready for a funeral. It's heavy. And getting underneath it is not easy. And so I went and I had the gal from the funeral home come and I had one of them little two-wheel carts. And I said, "Okay, I want you to hold this." She couldn't even pick it up with the two-wheel cart, just a little bit. I said, "Okay, I want you to just pull back. I'm going to pull back. Now all you need to do is hold that so I can get underneath it with my fingers." And so I pulled it back. It was just fine. She had a hold of it. I stuck my fingers under it, and she let go of it. I said, hold that up just a little bit longer, because I need to get my other hand under there too to pick this thing up. It was heavy. And I was real glad when it was back on its feet. You know, I was real glad about that. But you see, heavy things will wear you out. In that case, pinch my fingers. But we got it right the second time. And that's the thing. If we keep working on that weak flesh, our spirit will become stronger than that weak flesh. And we will say thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. So we need to, on a regular basis, shout out to God, into your hands I commit my spirit. We need to consider the things that the Lord has commanded us to do. They weren't suggestions. They weren't possibilities. They were flat. Go do it. This is what will happen. Go do it. This is what will happen. Go do it. This is what will happen. Precious. It's okay. Go help her. It'll be okay. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not going into that bathroom all by myself. Yes. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And we, when we say the Lord is good, we need to have an amen in our spirit. I mean, we need to just have that. It's not like we're being put in a pressure cooker to share the good news. It's like the lid's coming off so that we can feed the nations. You know? It's like that we understand somebody needs good news. And I am available with good news. God can help that. God cares about you. I mean, I don't know what the seed is, but it's like what Vicki said with the rain and hearing the wave. There's seeds out there all over the place, folks. There was a seed planted in every single person when they were created. There's a seed in every person that will only grow up and make that person fulfilled when they come to know Jesus. That seed's there. And they don't know it. It is like a buried treasure. It's like a buried treasure out in your yard. You don't know it's there, but if you dig it up, you find it. But when the rain of the Spirit, somehow God always does things perfectly, at just the right time, something hits something and that begins to grow, and then we can never be satisfied again. The only place we can be satisfied is in Christ. That's the only place. There can be a lot of okay things. You know, I mean, it's like, hey, I don't have a problem with the little eggs and the marshmallow chickens. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with people not knowing that there's anything but little eggs and marshmallow chickens. You know? I think it'd be pretty cool if you walked into Walmart and there was the lineup of the eggs and the lineup of the chickens and all that stuff, and then there was just this big billboard of Jesus standing there, just saying, "I love you." No preach, no nothing, just, "I love you." At least then there'd be a choice, a little egg or a great big Jesus, you know? Eat the egg while you contemplate the King. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't have a problem. I don't mind if kids have fun. I just don't want them to think that hippity-hoppity Easter's on its way is the only part of the whole story. And I'll grant you, I don't even know that I totally comprehend the fact that he was crucified. I mean, I understand that. I don't comprehend it all. I don't think anybody comprehends it all. Like I drove past the church and they had the sign up that said, "One cross, three nails, forever." I have to tell you something. The only people that are going to understand that are the people who understand about the cross, the nails, and living forever. Now, it might pique somebody's interest to ask somebody, what's that sign mean? And that's great. That's great. I like the kids, they put up signs that tell it pretty clear. Your life begins when you begin to live it for Jesus. What's the other side say? You got that change too. I can't remember what the other side says now. But it says something good. Great job. Teresa and Tremaine are doing a great job. They're preaching every day. You know? Pretty soon you'll start hearing from people and they'll say, we should change your sign. Don't get in a hurry. These are good ones you got up there. They're all good. Everybody in the world hasn't read them yet. You know? Wait till fishing season starts. Man, you'll preach to multitudes. You have to drive by that sign to get to the fort. And hear the good news, because you see, it may not say a thing to 99 people, but 100th person might see that and say, you know, somebody else said that once. Is God trying to tell me something? I always love that when people say, I think God's trying to tell me something. I tell them, I'm sure he is. You know? I don't know what it is. I don't want to read your mail, but I can tell you that he's trying to tell you something, because he's always trying to tell me something too. Always trying to tell me something. It's always funny to me how people say, I think God's trying to tell me something, and then it's like, that's all they're going to think about it. God's trying to tell me something. Get that out of my mind before it takes over my thoughts. I find that when God tries to tell me something, that just keeps coming back and keeps coming back and keeps coming back and keeps coming back. Until we have pondered it together and I have scratched the surface of it, and now I'm ready to go deeper into whatever it is that he is saying. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Sometimes people are so busy talking about the old things that passed away that they can't accept the things that are new. Can't even consider the things that are new. Can't even look forward to the things that are new. Can't even declare the things that are not as though they are, because all they can think about is the past. All they can think about is, well, yeah, that's good to hear about that guy praying for somebody in Kenya and they got healed, but I know a person that just died. Newsflash, there's a lot more than one person that just died. You know? Let the dead bury the dead. Go for the living. That's not cruel. That's not anything. That's just simply, don't let something pass. Don't let something that did not work out the way that you thought that it should work out rob you of declaring it will. You know? But I've been praying for so many years. So? There's nothing wrong with praying for so many years. But how many times when you prayed for so many years did you just doubt it away after you got done praying? God's just waiting for us to quit shutting the door on the answer. I expect that Jesus not only rose from the grave all those years ago, but I expect him to enter people's hearts. And I expect he will, whether I expect it or not. But I'll be a lot more a part of it if I'm expecting it. See, I agree with Brother Rogers. I will thank God very much for putting it down to my account. Because I'm a part of it, and you would be wise too to put it down to your account, because if you're a part of this, you're a part of that. Don't matter how big a part you are of something, if you're on the bus, you're going the same place. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. You know? So if you get on the bus, the door's open, we get on the bus. And we're on the bus, and it don't matter if somebody else paid for all the tickets, we're on the bus. Jesus paid the price. He did pay the price in ways that we cannot totally comprehend. How did nailing him to the cross take away my sins. How did his dying give me life? God says it did. That's good enough for me. Man, I don't have to do any research to just believe the truth. I can believe the truth because it bears witness in my spirit. It's real. It's true. It's wonderful. And I'd never tell anybody I can explain it all. I can tell people, I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad we get to do it the New Testament way rather than the Old Testament way. I found something in Leviticus today that I don't really want to mess with, but I'm just going to tell you what it says. It says when you give something to God, he said if it's a person can't be bought back. That person's got to be killed. Whoa, wait a minute. I read it a few more times and I said, well, that's what it says. Well, I've given myself to the Lord, so Roger needs to die. I'll just go that route. You know? I'm not going to try to explain to somebody why God said if somebody gave a person to him, they had to be killed. I don't understand it. Okay? I do know this. That wasn't it Hannah that gave Samuel to the Lord. He didn't die. He became a prophet. So, I don't have to explain it. I just have to know it. And you see, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. His spirit bears witness with my spirit that this is the smartest thing that I have ever done in my life. Absolutely, without question or without doubt. Have you ever done something that you've been working on and working on and working on and then all of a sudden it just fell into place? You know, I mean, just like suddenly, after so long, suddenly, it just fell into place. Those are nice times. I have to tell you that whenever I have something like that happen, I leave it alone. I don't take it apart to try to figure out how I did it. You know? You ever put anything together and you had a screw left over? And you just put the screw in a bag? You don't go back and try to figure out where that screw came from? Nowadays, I just say a prayer and hope that it wasn't something that was supposed to hold something important together. Soon enough, I'll find out. I'll do my best to remember where that screw is, just in case. Yeah. What I'm saying is Jesus does make everything fall together. He makes everything make sense. And I don't know what hippity-hoppity Easter's on its way had to do with my life in Christ. But I do know that I sang hippity-hoppity Easter's on its way. He's heading down the bunny trail. I did sing that. So when I read a psalm that says, sing a new song to the Lord, play it well and sing it loud, I go, yeah, I can do that. Now that doesn't have to make any sense to anybody else in the whole wide world, but it just brings me focus to Jesus. And that's where we all need to be, is focused on Jesus. When scattered things are coming at us and nothing makes any sense, like in prayer to hear hippity-hoppity, Easter's on its way, doesn't make a bit of sense until you give God time to have it make sense. Your lives are going to have places that just don't make sense. Give God a chance to make them make sense. And when you learn how to have God make them make sense for you, guess what? You've got the answer for somebody else, because, man, this world is full of people that have no idea what's going on, and some people think they know a lot about what's going on, but they're scared to death. We, on the other hand, we know that Jesus has all the answers. And when we turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, then the cares of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Every day is resurrection day for those who know Christ. And blessed are you, Jesus said. Blessed am I, Jesus said, that we know the things that we know and we now understand. Don't bury it. Don't hide it. You've got answers for people that have questions. The answer is God's good. If you don't know anything else, you know God's good. If you don't know anything else, you know that when we seek the Lord, we find him. When we call upon the Lord, he answers. If you don't know anything else, you know that. And when that door opens, it's like, let the floodgates of heaven, open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Have confidence in the word of God. Have confidence in the seed. Have confidence in God to heal. Have confidence in God to deliver. Have confidence in God to help. Have confidence in God to bring peace. Have confidence in God to supply needs. Have confidence in God. That's where our confidence must be. Amen? Amen. Lord, we're confident in you. We're confident that you know everything that we know and everything that we don't know. You know it all. You are all things. You're above all things. All things were made by you. There was nothing that was made without you. We've got the answer when we've got the Lord. This we can say with great confidence. And so, Lord, we declare unto you, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and praise. For you have created, hast all things created. You are worthy, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.